Hi, I'm Brett Johnson, former United States Most Wanted cyber criminal, now good guy, and host of The Brett Johnson Show. Today's episode, guess what? We've got Michael Symister coming on to talk about a type of fraud that he's been undergoing, what's been happening. He's going to talk about who he is, what he does, everything else. Michael, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being the guy you are today.
Well, let's be honest. It was a long trip.
Yeah.
All right. So, Michael, if you don't mind, before we go into dive into all this other stuff, what do you do for actually, who are you? Where do you live? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mike Symister. I live in Utah. It's freezing right now. It's that time of year now.
I got you.
How cold is it? I think it got down about 29 last night up where my hometown is. They've been getting into the high teens.
Birmingham today is 85.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd share that with you. You know, bringing that ray of sunshine into your life.
Thank
today.
You. Yeah, you're even welcome. Even on the sunniest days in the winter here, it's miserable. If it isn't freezing, it's we've got some of the worst air in the world in the winter.
I understand. Well, I got to tell you,
in the world,
I absolutely love the state of Utah. I do. I do. I've been on vacation twice out there and hit you know, all the big parks and everything like that. I think it is absolutely the prettiest state in the Union.
And it's beautiful.
I am jealous of you being there, except in the winter.
There's a reason people leave in the winter. I was born and raised here.
Okay.
All my life. I'm not your typical Utahn. My dad's an artist, and so I've never baled hay in my life.
Okay.
Most of the kids I grew up with did that, baling hay. I couldn't pick up a hay bale to save my life. Anyway,
So what kind of artist is your dad? Let me ask you that.
He's a potter. He makes pottery.
Nice, nice.
Yep. Okay. To pay the bills, because pottery, you know, I'm a skinny guy. I don't know if that's because of the amount of money he didn't make growing up, or if it's just in my genes, maybe a little bit of both. But art doesn't pay the bills. Their kids starve as well. So to make the ends meet, and to get a better deal on his clay so that he could make a little bit more on his pots, he got a distributor license from a little company called Laguna Clay out of California. And they had been kind of acquiring other ceramic type companies over time. Right. And Laguna Clay popped up and he started selling their clay kind of to subsidize the money he wasn't making. And that turned into a pretty big and successful clay distribution company here in Utah called Sunstone Pottery and Supply.
Okay.
And it was always my dream to take that over. But you know, again, it was, there just wasn't enough money there. So in the meantime, I went out, got jobs, did this and that. And one of his competitors went up for sale. I tried to buy them, but they didn't want to sell it to us. So they sold it to some other guy, and this guy was a little bit of a shyster. And they started selling on Amazon. They started selling clay and things like that on Amazon. And I was like, you know what? I can do that. I know the prices. All I need to do is figure out the rest.
Sure, absolutely.
So I did. And in a matter of about 4 years, not that I meant to put them out of business, but I gave them a run for their money and ended up buying them a couple years ago. And have since kind of just dominated that little niche.
Nice.
But
exactly are you selling online?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I sell clay and plaster mostly.
Okay.
Those two things are like my bread and butter. But we've kind of expanded out into some other, you know, tools and glazes, and now we have a store, so we sell other stuff out of here, wheels, kilns, all that stuff.
Right. Right.
Anything you need to make a pot, we can sell it.
Nice.
I mean, I was even selling books, and books is kind of where it started, this whole fraud thing, where I figured it all out.
So is it, so, and a couple questions before we go into that. So selling stuff for artists to make whatever they need to, as far as pots go, you sell books as well. I'm imagining that the profit margin is not great on that, or am I wrong?
Well, it is. It can be. Okay. It all depends on how much competition there is.
Okay.
And what kind of competition that competition is. In general, you know, I shoot for 25-35% margin.
Okay.
And I do okay there. Rarely do I have to drop my price down into an area that I don't want to be, but
yes, sir.
Could, you know, I don't think I could live in some of those places, but for the most part, we do okay. Okay. I wish we could do better. You know, like Amazon takes a buttload of money and shipping heavy stuff costs a ton.
Now, do you ship it to Amazon and they ship it out, or do you ship it directly from your point? Both. Okay.
Both. Yep. When we do, gosh, I don't even know. Last year, I think we spent about $400,000 or $500,000 on shipping alone.
Oh, wow. Four or $500,000 just on shipping.
Yep.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spend a lot on shipping. So every package that leaves here is at least $7 to ship it.
So please forgive me, because when you were talking about selling, you know, clay and stuff like that, I'm sitting there going, okay, so, you know, it's a few packages. No, that much in shipping. That's not just a few packages.
We're doing almost $1 million in sales a year on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, eBay, our website, Michael's, and then out of our door now.
Okay. All right. So, and now you reached out to me. This has been a few months back. You reached out to me to talk about a type of fraud that you were seeing. So if you could just, and you know, act like I don't know a damn thing about fraud at all. So if you could.
Okay. Let me break it down.
Okay.
So there's a couple different breeds of this. There's the more legit, but still just as shady. And then there's the 100%. These guys are pieces of shit.
Right.
And we'll just deal with the latter, the former, the more legit kind. They're pretty easy to shake up and shut down.
Okay.
But they still, there's still a lot of people in that arena that need help, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
So what I'll tell you how I discovered it first. There's one item I sell, and the items that I sell, it's not like just anybody could sell it, but not anybody does.
Gotcha.
So when I see a listing with the keywords or the images or whatever it might be, there's a 99% chance that it's my listing. So gotcha. when I sell one, or when I see one for sale, I assume that it's my listing. And we were selling a lot of these to one particular seller or one particular customer. And in my Amazon dashboard, it shows me a buyer name and an address.
Okay.
And sometimes the name on the address doesn't match the buyer name. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not the same, right? My wife is probably the one with the Amazon account. So if I buy something on Amazon from a seller, it'll say April is the buyer, Michael is the address. And some people don't think twice about it.
Sure.
But I started selling a lot of these to one particular customer, a lot. And I was also getting a lot of item not received claims is what they're called, INRs.
Right.
INR claims. And Amazon is so good at giving their customers their money back. Like they're so good at it. It's a problem, in my opinion, unless I need my money back, and then I'm glad they do it. But in that case, if I don't buy my shipping from Amazon, which I don't, I buy it through a third party, they won't protect me from an item not received claim. So I have no choice but to refund that customer, whether they got it or not. All they have to do is say they didn't get it. Even if it says it was delivered, even if it says it was scanned on time, anything.
Now let me ask you. So even if your tracking information says delivered, if the shipping is not purchased through Amazon, Amazon will always side with the buyer.
Yep.
Oh, that's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah, oh yeah. It is nuts. Once in a while, they'll say, hey, you know what? This one's on us. You've got a great track record. We're going to cover this one, you know, but that's bullshit. Right. Amazon's not going to cover anything. That cost is going to get lumped and then rolled over into some other, you know, price increase down the line.
Right.
They aren't willing to eat cost for sure. Anyway, so I started questioning what's going on there, right? Because I'm sending a lot of these to this buyer, and I started looking. I can see their history. Refund, 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 refund. And I'm like, this is nuts. Okay. So the buyer name was Carkart, Carkart. So I just looked up Carkart buyer.
Right.
And lo and behold, there's this list out there called the bad buyer list. And there's some Excel versions of it that have these buyers linked with other businesses that they own.
Right.
As well as some other information. But the bad buyer list is an even more comprehensive list that people can populate with known scammers.
Now, where do you access this bad buyer list?
I just Googled it.
Okay. So I can just Google bad buyer list and I can get these things.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, I confronted these guys and I told them, if you want to sell my stuff, because what they were doing was drop shipping.
Right.
So, and I didn't even know a thing about drop shipping at this point. And this is where we're going to go. I'll forget about the confrontation I had with them. But I went to my listing because I assumed I was the only one on it. But lo and behold, there's another seller on there and they're selling it for twice the price. And I'm like, that's weird. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody go to this page on Amazon and purposely pick the more expensive one?
Right.
Well, they don't. And at that time, if I sent out a link to their item and you went to that link, it wouldn't show me as a seller. So if somebody went to that item page back then, if that's what happened, Amazon wasn't giving you the other option.
Okay.
It was a seller specific landing page, which made sense, right? So I could flood Facebook with this fraudulent listing or this more expensive listing, and no one would ever know that there was a cheaper one.
I got you.
And then they would buy it from Amazon. Sometimes they would even buy it from the FBA, or when I send it to Amazon, they would buy it there.
Right.
That's a little harder to scam, but
because Amazon's shipping it out, and then they would be able to know if it was delivered or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And they pay a little bit more attention.
Yeah. For those who don't know, FBA is fulfilled by Amazon.
Yep. And FBM is fulfilled by merchant.
Gotcha.
And there's even merchant fulfilled Prime, which is kind of a version of FBA, but not anyway.
Okay.
So then I started getting wise. Okay. So I started looking at all of my listings, and at that point in time, they were all United States based dropshippers that I could pretty easily track down, call, harass, and tell them to stop, or I would make their life hell.
Right.
And they did.
Okay. So they stopped.
Yep. They stopped.
Was this Carkart buyer in on this? Was he stateside or not?
Yes. Well, okay. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Everything about it. I mean, there were ways to get a hold of people here in America that were involved.
So let me ask you something
with that company.
And I want you to continue, but I just want to stop and pause for just a second. So you take someone like this Carkart buyer who's on the bad buyer list. Mm-hmm. He's got tons of refunds. He's buying the item from you. And he's drop shipping it. So he's buying it. Then he's having it shipped to someone else that he's actually selling it to at double the price of what he's buying it from you on. Then once it's shipped, he gets the money from that buyer, but then he claims an INR, did not receive. through Amazon and gets the money back on top of that. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then you have to pay for his loss out of your account.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I lose money every time.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. The customer double pays. I lose my product as well as the sale. He gets double the price as well as his money back.
And this is where I want you to say, you said you weren't going to talk about confronting these people. So let's talk about that, because you did.
Yeah, I did. So I figured out who they were, and I figured out where they were operating from. All of these people have, the stateside people have some location as their registered place.
Right.
And so I figured out where they were at, who they were. I found their phone numbers and I started calling them.
Okay.
And I said, listen, if you don't stop, I'm going to start messing with your business. I'll get Amazon to shut you down if you don't stop.
Good.
And they were all over Amazon, eBay too. They sell on Sears. That's a thing still. Anyway,
that's a thing still.
Yeah. Yeah. And anything on Sears, if you want to find a drop shipper, go to Sears.com and look for anything other than parts. And even the parts might be, but still
Sears is like a drop shipper haven right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because only fools go there.
Right.
But anyway, I said, look, if you want to sell my stuff, that's fine. But here's what I want. I want you to buy a pallet of this stuff because I'm particularly sensitive to the customer base that I have. They're artists and they're kids and they're craftspeople. And I starved as a child.
Oh, geez, you froze up on me, Michael. Hey, hold up. I lost
you. I'm going to want you to.
Yeah, back up just a minute. I lost you where you said you starved as a child.
Oh, I'm sensitive to the price that my customers pay, because if you overpay, you can't make as much on whatever it is you're making. So I told them, look, if you want to sell my stuff, that's fine, but I'm going to insist that you buy a pallet of it from me. I'll cut it up, bag it up, label it however you want, and I'll ship it to you and you can sell it, but I'm going to monitor the price you sell it at, right? Sure. I'll even drop off the listing if you want, and I'll let you have it, but you're going to get it from me. And we're going to do this legitimately if you really want to do it.
Right.
And they're like, well, I don't know.
Because they're not going to make that kind of money.
Well, they don't want to work either.
Right.
None of these people want to lift a finger. They just want to copy, increase, sell. That's it. So they stopped. There was another guy down in Florida. He's now running for like city commissioner or something.
Okay.
That was drop shipping off of me. And I found his home number and I called him once and just ripped him out, left a message. And then he called me back and I was like, hello. And he says, yeah, who's this? I says, this is the guy that you keep screwing over.
Now, was he doing the refunding fraud bit too or not?
Yep.
They were all doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy when you think about it. I mean, so I can buy something. I don't know what you're selling your product for, but I can buy something for $25, sell it to somebody for $50, and then go back to Amazon and get my $25 back. So I'm making $75 on no investment at all.
Yep.
That's nuts.
And, you know, I called recently. There's been an increase in these U.S.-based drop shippers that are really, they're kids and, I don't know, guys in their 40s who have fallen prey to these Twitter influencers that it's a big thing. It's a big craze, man. These guys are causing all kinds of hype. And
yeah, I see it on TikTok. I see it on Twitter a lot.
I've actually talked to a few of these guys and inadvertently gotten their store shut down, and they're losing, you know, $50,000 at a time when their accounts get shut down because there's no way to get them back up.
Right.
And the guys that are behind it are, you signed a piece of paper saying that you knew there was risks, which is dumb because the risks that they claim there are I mean, basically, these kids are signing a piece of paper that says, I know that you're going to do something that's going to get all my money taken away. It's going to get my store shut down once it's discovered.
Right.
Do it. I don't remember where I was going with that, but.
No, so the confrontation on the stateside people, they were pretty receptive to that. Because, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, you've discovered that they're committing fraud, and all of a sudden that shit gets pretty serious.
Yeah, and they're very singular as far as who they are.
Right.
They're not working on some team. They give a shit about their money.
Right.
And about their business.
And, if it gets and shut their down, freedom, I'm sure, because, you know,
yeah.
Defraud enough money, you go to serve some time on that. And if you're in the United States, it's not difficult to get your ass arrested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another little tangent. I recently read an article about a guy in Dearborn, Michigan, who was running a business called Simple Refunds. And he had, this is kind of why I think this is a bigger deal than we realize. So this guy had created a business, and he was using Telegram mm-hmm. to do it. And do you know this story?
Actually, I'm going to let you tell your story, and I'm going to tell you all about Simple Refunds.
Okay. So this guy had created this little business. And he had brought people in, customers, and he said, look, if you will let me impersonate you as the customer, not only can you get these products, but you can get your money back.
Right.
And so here's the deal. You get to keep the product that you wanted, but when you get your money back, we're going to split it. And I'm going to take care of all the ins and outs of how that works. And the ins and outs of how all that works is through INR claims or
right.
sending back something other than what they bought.
In his case, plastic green frogs.
Yep. Whatever it might be.
That's what he sent back.
Frog laundering. That's what this was all about. He had to launder these frogs.
That's what he sent back. He would, a lot of the packages that he sent back would, didn't matter what was in there. He would put these plastic green frogs in there and send it's back to the people. Card. And as soon as it was, scanned as en route, they'd give the refund.
He had also infiltrated and been using postal workers, probably FedEx workers and UPS workers,
right.
to fake scans. There's a whole host of things that if you were to have inside information and people in your pocket, you could get all of the information you wanted and fake any of it.
Here's the thing. How did you happen upon Simple Refunds?
I think a buddy of mine, he's a big InfoWars fanatic. He's always got his ear to the conspiratorial wall.
Okay.
And it popped up on his radar, and unless it was maybe an article you posted, I don't remember. It was one of the two.
Okay. So I'm going to segue for a minute before we go on with your story. So we could talk about refunding fraud for just a couple of minutes. All right. So back and people who've listened to my show, you know this story. So refunding fraud starts way back with Evolution Marketplace on Amazon. Back then you would use your account. You'd get a Prime free trial. You'd use your credit card, your address, your name. You'd order a MacBook Pro. You'd get it in, claim it didn't show up. Amazon would ship you another. You'd get it in, claim it didn't show up. Amazon would ship you another. Then finally, you'd claim that didn't show up, and Amazon would give you your money back. That's how refunding fraud started. From that, we saw it changed the face of cybercrime as we know it. So today, refunding fraud is really where many cyber criminals begin their career, because you immediately start profiting. All right. Over the years, Amazon and all these other merchants, they've tried to stop it. It's almost impossible to stop it, because let's be honest, sometimes packages don't show up. Sometimes packages are stolen. Sometimes the box is empty. And then you've got this thing where you're manipulating shipping labels. where you can make it look like you've sent it back, but instead you've sent a bunch of green plastic frogs, which is what this Simple Refunds guy did. Now, the history of Simple Refunds, it goes way back to this guy named Noir on Telegram. Now, Noir is not in business right now. And we'll find out more about that later through the year. But right now, he's not in business. Simple Refunds pops up after Noir comes into business. Now, Simple, the original owner of Simple Refunds, actually sold to someone else, this Dearborn guy that you're talking about right now. All right, so he sells to someone else. Now, Simple has been indicted. So, as a lot of Telegram refund fraudsters are, and the way that works is you get a lot of these people. You know, if I'm brand new to cybercrime, I'm not very confident about stealing something. So what I'll do is I'll find someone like Simple or there's a Lego refunder. There's used to be Noir. There's tons of these refunders on. There's Scorpion refunds. There's a ton of these refunders that are on Telegram. And you can actually do a keyword search for refund and they'll pop up. And what they'll do is they'll say, hey, I've got a list of these stores, and one of them will be your store, or one of them will be Amazon or Costco or Sam's, Nike, Adidas, what have you. They'll say, I've got this store. You can go up to this dollar amount. It can be fulfilled by Amazon or not fulfilled by Amazon, what have you. And you can order this many items and I'll get you your refund back within, you know, sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. Sometimes it's 30 days. And they do that for a percent of whatever the order is. So if I'm ordering $1,000 worth of stuff, sometimes they'll charge me 25%. So I have to pay them $250 and they will handle the refund for me. I don't have to contact customer service. I don't have to send in green plastic frogs in its place or anything else like that. Now, the interesting thing, and you've kind of touched upon that, these criminals are not difficult to identify. You've seen that stateside with the fraud that you were seeing. And that's a lot of the same way it is on Telegram. They are not difficult to identify, but they are, by God, prolific. They do a lot of damage. And that just surprised me when you came out with that word Simple. I'm like, well, hell, I know that guy because he's not long for the free world.
Yeah.
So were you seeing these refund fraudsters, these Telegram refund fraudsters being used to defraud the stuff that you were seeing or not?
So I don't know exactly the system that is being used currently. So sure. the biggest thorn in my side, I compare Walmart Marketplace to a kidney.
Sure.
So we've got this body, the economy, right? Amazon is really the heartbeat, okay, in my scenario. And Walmart is part of it, but it's an organ that we could live without.
Okay.
And it's damaged. It either needs to be repaired, replaced, or removed.
So most of business is Amazon-based. Amazon basically is the monopoly on everything then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And everybody else is just kind of sucking off of it.
Okay.
Walmart is really so tied to Amazon that we don't even realize. So the fraud that I'm seeing today is all coming from Amazon.
Okay.
Or not Amazon. Sorry. It's all coming from Walmart.
Walmart.
And I can't identify these people. Walmart can't identify these people. The government knows that something is happening, and they have recently instituted this thing called the Inform Act, where they mandate third-party marketplaces to verify their seller's information. So your EIN number, your address, your name, your phone number, email, all that stuff has to be valid. Amazon is really good at it. Okay. Amazon is really good at curbing a lot of this crap, but Walmart, for some reason, is not very good at it.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, so Amazon has literally all the data on the planet. It's very easy. And I mean, it's very difficult to surf anything or buy anything online that is, as you just pointed out, that's not somewhat connected to Amazon. Amazon is so big that they control prices of things across the internet, across the planet. So,
yeah,
you know,
now
and,
the prices thing. Oh,
okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's tied into this too.
Okay.
Man, where do I begin? it's almost like I need to start over now because there's a different thing. So I'll just talk about Walmart.
Okay.
So I got onto Walmart, or rather, here's how this new breed came to my knowledge.
Okay.
I got a phone call from a customer and she said, "Hey, I got my item today, but the packing slip says it was, I don't know, $25, but I paid Walmart $50.
Okay.
And I said, "Well, I don't sell on Walmart. So I'm confused." Because this was the first cross-platform drop shipping that I had experienced. And I said, "I don't sell on Walmart." And she said, "But I bought it from Walmart." And I said, "Well, I don't sell on Walmart. I don't know what's going on. What's the tracking number?" She gave me the tracking number and it was my tracking number. So okay. I looked it up and I found her order in my Amazon orders.
Okay.
And I also found a couple days later that the person that bought it from me asked for a refund. They said they never got it.
Now, did they buy it under her name or not?
They bought it under their buyer name.
Okay.
But it was shipped to her.
Gotcha.
And I clicked on their name because it said, "See all, you know, see this buyer's history." They had purchased from me before, just once before. And lo and behold, they got a refund. So now I knew what was going on.
Right.
In some cases, these people will actually, so I've made test purchases under a fake name. They'll change the buyer name to that fake name. And the only way to do that is to get a credit card with that name on it.
And I know where they're getting those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did
Does
a
it
show
start with dark?
Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's the weird thing. It doesn't. There's a, I forgot that. You'd have to watch. I did a show with Andrew Hayden, Andrew Clinton Hayden, about AI and bots. So a lot of these, you know, you can't buy a pair of Nikes today from Nike, not any Nike that you'd want. So you, because you've got these buyers that are going in and buying all the popular shoes, then they resell mm-hmm. them on GOAT, on StockX, things like that.
Yeah.
They use bots. And there are these companies that if you've got one bank account, just one bank account, they will give you 1,000 prepaid debit card numbers that you can put any name on the planet on.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Shit's legal, man.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's just what we need. They're not doing it though. They've only done it to me once.
Okay.
Anyway, so once I found out that this was happening, this Walmart listing existed, I got on Walmart because I started looking at my listing, or I started Googling or looking in the Walmart search browser for the keywords of my listings. And sure. I found hundreds of them. And it wasn't just, this is the thing that doesn't make sense to me. Well, it kind of does, but it wasn't just one seller copying a listing. It was 10 sellers copying the same listing, but they weren't making the same listing. It was 10 sellers making 10 listings of the same item for the same jacked up price.
Oh, they were all at the same price?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's some rhyme and reason to some of it, but I just looked at my old file, and when I started tracking all of this up until a couple weeks ago, there were over 615 of my listings that had been duplicated and then put onto Walmart, and those were just the ones that I found.
Right.
There are a lot more than that, but in almost every case, the seller information on these items is a Chinese name. They've invented some fake Chinese brand to list it under. You
right.
need to use a UPC number to list things online. Amazon does a great job of verifying the UPC with the item or the brand that you're listing it.
Okay.
back in the day, a lot of people were creating listings because with these, with fake or other company UPCs, because they didn't know how to get an exemption. An exemption exists today, and it's not terribly hard to get, but back in the beginning, it was a little harder to do. People didn't want to wait because there's all this money to make. So they started making them. And Amazon goes through the catalog and they'll boot listings all the time.
Okay.
The company that I purchased had been doing it that way, and I've lost several listings because of it, but it's fine.
Okay.
Walmart, on the other hand, seems like you can use any UPC you want as long as it isn't already in the catalog. Not only can you use that UPC to create whatever item you want, after you've created it, if you want to change it to something else, be my guest.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
So a 5-pound bag of plaster that I was selling, somebody had copied. And then I copied that listing so that the price would be right and they would drop off because they don't want to share it with anybody right. else. So they would drop off of it and create another one. In the meantime, I zeroed that one out. Now it's listed as fabric. Anyway, these are most of the addresses on all these people are Chinese addresses with okay. numbers that you would never in a million years call. There's no way for me as a customer to know actually who these people are.
Right.
In some cases, they do use US-based addresses and phone numbers. And in every case, those addresses don't belong to that company. And the phone number, if it isn't disconnected, doesn't go to them. It's some lady in Washington or some Medicare or right. Medicaid insurance company.
Because that and what you're telling me now actually answers one of the questions I was going to have for you. I was going to ask if Amazon allows you to simply click a button. I think Shopify does that to an extent that you can say, "Hey, I don't want any out of country buyers able to get my product." But it doesn't matter if these Chinese fraudsters are using U.S. addresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The most recent thing that has happened to me. Okay. So Walmart is now going through their Inform Act checklist, okay. right? Because they've got to comply. So they're calling. They're actively calling people. They're sending, you know, emails and everything they need to do to verify the seller. Okay. So I got a phone call from Walmart a couple of weeks ago and they said, yeah, this is so-and-so from Walmart. And I'm honestly, in some cases, I have to try to make sure that it's actually Walmart calling me because I'm that paranoid now.
Well, no. And I get it. I get it because it may not be Walmart calling you.
It might not be. It was Walmart though. And she said, we're doing our Inform Act, verifications. And I said, good. It's about damn time.
Right.
She said, okay, so we want to verify that this is Fitness Fury. And I'm like, what? No, my company's called Artistic Industries. Fitness Fury. I said, that's interesting. Is it spelled FITNIZ space FURY space INC? And she said, yeah, that's it. And I said, oh, that's weird. She said, do you not have any affiliation with them? And I said, the only affiliation I have with Fitness Fury is the affiliation where they are screwing me out of my money, ripping right. off the customers and getting away with it.
Right.
And now they've given Walmart my phone number as their Walmart contact number for validating that they're a business. And she said, what? And I said, yeah. Not only that, but the address that they've got listed on their customer-facing profile doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Stifel Financial in Arizona. As far as Arizona is concerned, this company is registered to do business at a business. It's called 1001.
Right.
I think it's 1001 Central Avenue or something. It's a big business building.
Okay.
Fancy, swanky kind of, I don't know. It's a neat building.
Right.
Cool shops are in there. But they are in no way affiliated with any of the addresses that they are registered to do business in
right.
or at in the United freaking States.
So
yet somehow they were able to create a business,
right,
and get a business license, and they're doing this. And
let's be honest, it's not hard to get a business license. You know, it's not.
No, they got a business license through a company called NY Tax 888, right, or some bull crap. Right. It's this Chinese company in New York that just, I mean,
they'll pump them out by the
thousands. They pump them out.
Right.
Yep. There's no verification. Well, and they're in bed with them anyway, because right, they're all Chinese.
Of course. Of course. And that's not just saying that shit. They are. They know exactly what those business licenses are being used for. They're absolutely,
and they're
complicit
just
in that.
Cranking them out. They're cranking them out, and they're
and
all
let me
going
backtrack.
To Walmart.
So the listeners know what's going on. So we explained the fraud that was happening with Amazon with these U.S. buyers, resellers, drop shippers. All right. And so they would drop ship an item from you, sell it at double the price to some customer they had found on Facebook, what have you. Then they would come back to you and say, I want a refund. It was never received. And they would profit greatly from that. So you were able to shut down a lot of that. And then what happens is as Amazon's security is getting better at understanding what's going on, at that point, we see the cross-platform come in. At that point, fraudsters are like, well, okay, Amazon's gotten good at that. So what we'll do is we'll still have it fulfilled by, you know, the seller that's on Amazon, but we'll sell it on Walmart. Because Walmart, let's be honest, they're kind of shitty when it comes to security.
Yeah.
And then the Inform Act pops in, which that tells me what's actually happening is they wouldn't be doing that using your phone number, using some address out in Arizona. They wouldn't be doing that if that wasn't working. So a lot of the Walmart verification is simply, is it a real phone number? Well, it is. That's all I need to know. Is it a real address? Is it zoned for commercial business? Well, it is. And then that's all you need to know. Top it off, it's easy enough to get a business license. So yeah, there's a business license in that name. So that's pretty much how they're conforming to the Inform Act. It's obeying the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. And that's allowing people like you to be victimized. And again, let's be honest, you ain't the only one that this is happening to.
Oh, no, not even close. The other interesting thing about this is, and this is the part that, well, I can't say this is the part that really interests me, because the whole thing is pretty interesting. So in the case of when a customer calls me and they're like, hey, you know, I got this package and I overpaid or whatever, I will, I'll actually hook them up in exchange for information.
Okay.
So a little while ago I had a customer. She was a Walmart customer, and I recognized the name. I'm pretty hands-on when it comes to shipping and all that stuff. I recognized her name as having been a customer in the past.
Okay.
And I got another order through Amazon, but the previous order was on Walmart. So generally people stick with the platform that they buy from. So I was like, that's weird. And I looked at the name and it was different, the buyer name. So I contacted her and I said, hey, did you buy something on Amazon from me? And she said, no, I bought it on Walmart. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to take a stab in the dark. I'm going to bet you that when you get that package from Walmart, it's going to have a label in it from me with an Amazon order number. And the price on the packing slip is going to be less than what you paid. And she says, okay, I'll let you know when I get it. She got it. She called me back and she said, hey, how did you know that? And I says, well, I'll tell you, but first I want you to go on to Walmart and tell them that you want to send it back because you found a better price someplace else.
Okay.
Tell me, I'm going to bet that the address on the return label says 2006 Rodman Road, Wilmington, Delaware, Unit A. And she said, okay. So she did. And she called me back. She said, how did you know that? And I says, well, I'm going to bet you one more time that you're going to send that package and you won't get your refund from Walmart.
Get it from you.
She didn't get a refund at all.
Ah, okay.
But in exchange, I sent her twice as much material as she had initially ordered.
Right.
So
right.
So I was able to figure out that, and I've done this myself now too, by performing test buys. So all of these Chinese companies, all of them that I have identified, are all using the same return warehouse address in Wilmington, Delaware, which is a Chinese company that is connected to a bunch of other Chinese companies, nail salons and God knows what, right, all over the East Coast.
Right.
And they're all tied to one American name that I cannot for the life of me find. The guy is a ghost, okay, if he even exists.
Right.
But all of these, I call it the black hole. Every package that's returned.
You can't just say the guy is a ghost and not give me a name. Is there a reason you're not going to give me a name?
No. Arthur Rosenberg of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
supposedly owns a company called Golden Will Supply Company, or maybe it was a Merrimax. I'll have to get out my red string conspiracy map, but
right.
Yeah, I think it's Golden Will Supply Company. Is the company that his name is attached to, but then it gets all branched out from there and a bunch of other Chinese names and addresses and stuff. But I call that building the black hole, because what happens is on Walmart, so Amazon gives you a refund at first scan. So as soon as I drop it off and it's scanned at the carrier, I get my refund.
Right.
Walmart is, you get a refund when it arrives at the return center.
So that's why you have to have a return center that's processing, yep, those damn things.
Yep.
So and they're not opening the box, I'm sure, sometimes, but in this case, it wouldn't matter because, yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah. So okay. I had her send it back, and the tracking number that she got didn't exist. And I've done this as well. I took an item into Walmart. They gave me a tracking number, and I don't know how. I physically went into Walmart and they, right, gave me a shipping label, put it on the thing, and sent me an email saying this is the tracking number. And then when I looked it up later, it didn't exist in FedEx's database. So, but they're getting there.
Right.
And then they're probably selling it legitimately because now they have the item and they can, you know, it's free product, free money.
Right.
But all of these companies are using the same warehouse. So the money all flows, or the packages all flow to one place, which is really weird. They're all going there. And Walmart knows that they're all going there. Walmart, okay, knows that this return center address is connected to, I don't know how many dozens or hundreds of sellers. And it's a thing, seller, right?
Right.
Yeah, fraudulent sellers. Now, it's a thing to have a return. I could open up a returns type business and offer my service to sellers, because handling returns takes time and money.
Right.
So for a small fee, I'll take care of all that for you. You don't have to worry about it. So it's not unusual to see a bunch of people using one location. But what is unusual is to see a bunch of people who don't have verifiable business addresses, who are charging double or triple the price for all of their products, who are statistically filing higher numbers of, or having higher numbers of returns. It's odd that you would have that recipe and not have a big enough red flag raised to say, maybe we should cross-reference all of our sellers with this one address and look at how many returns and refunds are being processed through them, and just shut that shit down.
I agree. Now this is one of the things I'm finding interesting about your story. You have reached out. You reached out to Amazon. So you said Amazon is doing pretty good with this shit right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Walmart's not. So you reached out to Walmart. What's happened there? And tell me about who you reached out to and what the response has been, things like that.
Well, so the first thing that happened was Walmart. So the guy that I got in touch with, his name's Clay Thrasher. He's some global fraud investigator level something or other in the company.
Clay Thrasher. All right.
Yep. He said, well, here's probably what's happening. They're doing triangulation fraud and they're probably using a stolen credit card, but
right.
There's no way for us to know that unless Amazon can verify with us some information. So right off the bat, you know, they throw the Amazon's not going to cooperate. So there's nothing we can do.
Sure.
Brick wall. But he gave me a contact at FedEx who does some fraud investigation and things like that. And I worked with that guy a little bit just to verify that some of the tracking numbers that, and I'm going to diverge here again for a second. Sure. Sometimes when these sales are made, the tracking number that I provide is not the tracking number that the customer gets.
Right.
Sometimes that tracking number is a stolen tracking number from a list that you can buy on the dark web that contains thousands of tracking numbers with their associated zip codes and the delivery windows for each.
Right.
Because let's face it, everybody in every zip code in America is buying something every minute of every day.
Right.
So it's not a stretch to think that if I knew what that tracking number was, I could just use that.
Right.
No harm, no foul. And that's happened to me on test purchases where they used that. And I actually went to the house that tracking number was attached to. And the lady's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I believe you. Right. Anyway,
I mean, that, they're not involved with it. It's just someone stealing their tracking numbers is the only thing it is.
Yeah. So the guy kind of pushed me off to FedEx and, you know, I learned a few things there, but I kept coming back to him and telling him, look, these guys these people are ripping off my customers and I can prove it, right? I've performed test purchases. They've ripped me off. And so he's like, okay, well, give me a list of the names and I'll look into them. So I gave him a list of the names and then he came back and said, well, you know, technically there's nothing we can do because it's not against Walmart's rules to drop ship.
Oh, I got you. It's not. I agree. It's not.
It's not.
It's against Walmart's rules for triangulation fraud, though.
Yep. But they can't prove that that's what it is unless Amazon will help them. And even if they were using stolen tracking numbers, they would have to have FedEx or USPS or UPS or OnTrack or whoever verify that the tracking number that they were using came from one of these lists.
Right.
And well, let's face it, that's going to be too much work on an individual item basis.
And I agree. So this is where things get really screwed up. When you're talking about this cross-platform fraud like that, no, Amazon's not going to share their information because, hey, it's not our problem. It's Walmart's problem. That's what they're going to say out of the gate. Not only that, we're not going to share information because, hey, we've got to protect PII. Even if that PII is a fraudster's PII, we've got to protect that. So they're not going to do that. It gets worse with the shippers because you think about it, both UPS and FedEx in their friggin' every time you ship, part of that terms of service is that they are not responsible for that package. So all of a sudden you've got somebody like Walmart, Amazon, who have you, that's trying to say, hey, we're trying to figure out this tracking problem that's going on. And no, that might put FedEx or UPS with some culpability all of a sudden. So no, they're not going to be inclined to share that at all. And meanwhile, we've got these fraudsters who pretty much understand that game.
They know whose hands are tied.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you've got Walmart. Let's be honest. Walmart really doesn't need that information. They've got a complaint from you. They could look at all, as you pointed out earlier, they could look at all the packages with that frequency of refund that's coming in, everything else, and say, hey, there's something wrong with these businesses that are coming in. But it would even take that if they would just conform properly and by the spirit of the law and do what they needed to do with the Inform Act, but they're not.
Yeah, exactly. The Inform Act is designed to verify that a business is a business and a person is part of that business. And we have direct evidence that this Fitness Fury company is using fake information and they're still in business on Walmart.
Right.
I mean, the lady called me and said, is this Fitness Fury? And I'm like, fuck no, it isn't.
What is today? That's, she hung up and she's like, it is today. Basically, she said, I don't give a damn what the owner of the phone number has to say. It's a right phone number. That's pretty much what she said.
She was honestly interested in the whole thing, though. I said, if you've got a couple minutes, I'll tell you my story. And I kind of did.
Right.
And she says, well, I think we're going to want to know a little bit more about this. So if you could send me a list of the seller names that you know are doing this, that would be great. I haven't heard back from them, and I don't plan on hearing back.
No, you're not going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I mean, that's the problem. And let's be honest on why that is. Proper security costs money, but it gets even worse than that. Walmart is making money off of this fraud.
15% on every sale.
That's a high influencer right there to not do anything about it.
Yeah. Not only are they making money, Amazon's making 15%, and USPS, UPS, FedEx, whoever we're buying our shipping from,
right,
is also making some money out of the deal.
Right.
They would either way. I mean, the sale would happen, but you know, a lot of people are making a lot of money by looking the other way on this. And this brings me back to the price thing. So you mentioned Amazon and their prices and how they kind of control things. Amazon's algorithm for prices. If I make a listing on Amazon, or let's say I take one of my existing listings and I want to triple the price, mm-hmm, I can't. Because there's no historical data to say that I should.
Okay.
There's no comparative prices to say, yeah, that's actually right, you know. And right, in some cases, they're even great, because I accidentally lowered my price on one of my items the other day, and they froze it. And they said, okay, hey, you probably made a mistake here, so we're not going to let you sell it until you fix that. Okay. Same thing is true with the high price end. They'll freeze it and say, you better look at that again. With a little bit of effort and becoming a squeaky wheel, sometimes you can get that to go through.
Okay.
But at one point on Walmart, when I was listing this bag of plaster, it's really expensive to ship it. So I had to sell it for like $90. And they're like, nah, that's too high, because we found it on other websites for like $40 or whatever. They didn't know that other website charged shipping on top of it, but I was prevented from selling it at the price I needed it to,
right,
which was higher than they thought. Well, slowly over time and incrementally, these Chinese sellers have been raising that price floor up to insane numbers, and that price increase is connected to the Amazon algorithm. And the Amazon algorithm is connected to that price increase. And so you can see why I'm saying one is a kidney that needs to be removed.
Absolutely.
Because they're fucking with the whole economy.
So the Chinese fraudsters who are getting the product from you have manipulated the price to a level for a product that they don't have, that they're getting from you.
Yep. And they made the listing with a UPC number that doesn't belong to that product. And at any given moment, they could just change the listing to something else.
And
I'm willing to bet that they wouldn't have to change the price. So if I changed a bag of plaster that I'm selling for $115, they're selling them for like $160 or something. I'll bet they could change that into a roll of fabric and keep the price the same without raising any red flags. And then they flood. It's a pure numbers game. They're just flooding the system with these. They're poking and prodding to see what they can tune and tweak.
Right.
And eventually it'll all blow up.
Well, Michael, it's no wonder. And just so my viewers understand, Michael has been banging this drum for a while, and I have not assisted the man as I should have. Just to be honest, I've not.
You're busy.
You know that, and I know that too. But excuse my language, but it is no fucking wonder that you're going off the rails on this. This is nuts. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
So Walmart, I mean, so what the hell do you do
at this? Well, point? So,
cause I don't know. I mean, I've got some contacts in law enforcement. I can actually talk to them and see, but I mean, that's not a quick
my approach. My approach has been, scour Walmart, find the listings they're making that are mine and copy them and put them at the price that they should be. Then they drop off and I rinse and repeat every damn day. And I got really tired of that, you know, 615 listings to manage. So I just stopped completely and I zeroed all those out. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just going to pay a little more attention. But I am.
Well, because you can't fight that like that, Michael. I mean, they're using bots and what have you to make the listings. Yeah. So you can't keep up with that.
No, I can't. I've toyed with the idea of making some software that'll do that for me.
Right.
Which would protect a lot of sellers if I could pull that off. And I've also contacted a few sellers that I know are being targeted and actually performed. Oh, in one case. So here's the other thing too. Okay. So it's not just a high price thing. There was one instance where there was an item they were selling that they were selling for less than anyone else online. Guaranteed sale right there.
Oh yeah. Because guaranteed. And it's not going to cost them anything because they're drop shipping it, committing fraud at the same time. So they can sell it at whatever freaking price they want to.
Yep. So the only cost they had involved was the 15%. That they were charged by Walmart and the difference in the cost. So they had to pay more to buy it from the person they bought it from, which was one of my competitors. And I called my competitor because I bought that item. I wanted to see where it was coming from, if it was me or them. And it didn't come from me.
Right.
The tracking number said it was coming from Oceanside, and I know that's where they're at. So I called her and I said, hey, this is going to happen to you. And she says, what? I said, yeah, this is going to happen to you.
Yeah, it's coming.
And you've got more listings on Walmart than you know. So start looking at those. And it happened. She got hit with a claim. And Walmart said, or Amazon said, this one's on us.
Okay.
We'll take care of this. You don't have to pay it. So she was fortunate there.
Right.
But like I said, Amazon's not going to eat those costs. You know, that one's not on them. So one of the things that I've been doing is trying to identify some actual individual unique sellers that are selling things so that I can make them aware at least. But that's a
losing game too. I mean, you just mentioned that. I mean, these fraudsters a lot. And I know I used to be one, man. A lot of what you do is the groundwork of finding these products that you can hit. Whether it be on drop shipping fraud or credit card fraud or what have you, you're not looking at just the high dollar products. You're not always looking at laptops and cell phones. You're looking at plaster. You're looking at anything that can be sold for profit. And it's hard for a legitimate person like you. You can't. There's no way you can keep track of all that. Absolutely not.
No. So I started an Instagram page, Stop Drop Ship.
Okay.
On there I kind of run through the things that I've found, ways to identify. Like the way to stop this is to get consumers in America to understand who they're buying it from. And if they don't understand who it is or can't figure out who it is, or if any of these things, you know, tick the boxes, just don't buy it. You know, there's a lot of little clues in a listing that tell a person whether this is going to be legitimate or not.
Right.
And outside of that, you know, I've just told everybody, you know, I've sent Walmart, the two guys that I was working with, every legitimate idea how to stop this. Man, the best way to do this, and it would be so cool, is if I could get my hands on the tracking numbers from Amazon, Walmart, eBay, Home Depot, wherever. Okay. Give me the top six e-commerce platform tracking numbers in a snapshot of time, paste them all, sort them all, find the identical ones, boom.
Right.
Done.
No, you're right. I mean, that is one hell of a way to do it. And let's be honest, that you could do that, but you're not going to be able to do that because these companies are not going to share that data. They're absolutely not.
Even if that data has nothing else tied to it.
Right.
I mean, even if all, let's encrypt it all, right?
Right.
Encrypt it, but match it, give it to me, and I'll send you back the numbers that I think you should look at. I don't know.
So
I hate to say we need oversight on this, but.
No, I agree. We do. And that this is one of these cases where regulations absolutely would make a world of difference with this kind of stuff. It absolutely would. And at this, by the same token, these companies that are profiting by that, they're not going to want those types of regulations because that's going to cut into the amount of profit that they're making, even though it's fraudulent. So,
and
so
it'll now, prove culpability.
Absolutely. So now we're looking at, we're falling back on the Inform Act again, which at least in the case of Walmart, they are not doing it properly at all. Else this fraud would not be happening like this.
And even if they did or are doing it properly, it doesn't seem to matter.
Right.
Because well, I can set up a company wherever I want.
You set up a company wherever you want to. So, I mean, how far does the Inform Act go? Does it require the merchant that's checking out the resellers to verify how old the business license is, if the phone number is voice over IP, or if the phone number has been issued recently, or what have you?
I doubt it. The only real stipulation that I've identified in there is that it only applies to sellers that sell over a certain number of have over a certain number of transactions or a certain amount of money. So I could create 10,000 businesses,
right,
and only sell 5 items on each,
right,
and stay under the radar.
And I'm sure if that's not happening now, it will be, because you can use bots to come up with a business. It already is.
Okay. It already is. These listings change seller names,
right?
Like my wife changes her shoes.
I guess she's got a lot of shoes.
She's got a lot of shoes.
So, and I hate to chuckle about that, but I mean, so what happens now? Because I honestly don't have the answer for you. I mean, I'll contact some law enforcement people that I know, but other than that, dude, I don't have an answer for you.
I don't have an answer either. The only answer I have is, we could create some software that would protect sellers. We could create some software that would protect buyers. I mean, if it were possible for me to put into my browser, when I'm shopping online, I don't want to buy anything. I don't want any results to pop up from anybody that has a Chinese address. I don't want any results that pop up from anybody that only has 1 star. I don't want any results from anybody that hasn't been in business for more than 5 years. Like, come up with some kind of a decision matrix that's going to protect me.
And I agree. Absolutely. I agree with that.
But I don't think Walmart would appreciate having their search results just kind of blurred out when I go to search it.
Man, I'm... Dude,
education, man. I think educating the masses is the only way to stop this.
Well, I mean, this show will certainly help for the people who watch it and listen. All right, there's no doubt about that.
Just to
describe the fraud, the problems that are going on with cross platform, the fallacy of the Inform Act for some of these companies. Geez, Michael, I don't even want to end this show on this note that it's ending on, because it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Where do we go?
Yeah.
Software. That, to me, that's the easiest solution. I talked to a guy in my neighborhood who's like a software guy, but I don't have the money to pay him to do what I really want. But I was having him and have kind of messed with ChatGPT to help me, but I don't know Python and all that. Right, I don't know how to do that stuff, but I envisioned this thing where I could push go and it would scour my Amazon catalog for all of the keywords and then scour Walmart for the same information and kick back to me any result that wasn't my item. If the seller ID wasn't my seller ID, it would kick me back that result and then automatically create the listing at the price and just beat these guys, or meet these guys at least, keep pace with them to the point that Walmart's online catalog gets so goddamn big that it's unbearable. Crash the system. That's the only way to get this to go anywhere, is to crash the damn system.
Well, and I tell you the way that works. Yeah, they would remove that item completely, and the fraudsters would just find another item, and it would go like that, and they would just go right on down the list like that. Is what would happen.
Unless you could keep pace.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way this game runs. So,
and if all the sellers that are being targeted knew they were being targeted, that's the other thing. A lot of sellers don't even know this is happening. Right. I call people. And I'm like, hey, I'm looking at your listing here on Walmart. Oh, no, we don't sell on Walmart. I know you don't, but I'm looking at your listing.
Right.
So the lady that I talked to in California, my competitor, she says, what do I do? And I says, well, here's what you do. You can copy these listings that they're making, spend your time keeping pace, or I'm working on this platform that might help. Right. At least keep us in line with everybody else.
No, I agree.
And then zero the items out so they don't exist. But I don't know. It's too big to manage.
It is. I mean, that's geez, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this to anybody that's listening. If anyone can help Michael and these other merchants with this issue, please reach out. You can reach out to me through LinkedIn. You can reach out to Michael. How can they contact you, Michael?
Stop Drop Ship is my Instagram page. Okay. Sales at Artistic Industries is my email address. Either way.
Stop Drop Ship on Instagram. Sales at artisticindustries.com is your email address.
Yep.
Michael, dude, I don't like to end the show on bad notes, but this is one of those.
Hey, we got somewhere.
We did. Well, I mean, yeah, it's
talked education. And people will hear it. Yeah.
And it's the education. So that's a positive. And I truly, and I'm not just saying this, man, I truly hope that maybe Walmart, maybe Amazon, some of these companies can start to communicate with each other, because that's what a lot of this is going to take to stop. And I've been preaching communication between companies since my first presentation, and it's still not happened. So we can hope that something will change. We can hope maybe regulations will pop in and require a change. But man, I wish you nothing but the best, and I am so sorry that you are going through this bullshit.
It's part of the game.
Unfortunately, make it fun.
Make it fun if you can.
That's it. I'm gonna close things out while you're on here with me. Usually I just do a tag in, but we're gonna close the show out like this.
Cool.
My name is Brett Johnson. We have had Michael Simister on talking about the way he's being victimized through drop shipping fraud, and how a lot of these companies are profiting by that and not doing a damn thing about it. So with that note, we're gonna close things out. How do we close it out? Same way every single time. Stay safe out there. Stay secure and stay vigilant. This show has done nothing else. It should at least let you know why those three things are important. At the end of the day, though, this is the Brett Johnson Show. Just do the right damn thing. I'm Brett Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Until next time.